Case number 23-1349, Tanger Grand Rapids LLC et al. Versus Rockford Construction Company. Argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Scott, you may proceed for the appellant.
Thank you, and may it please the court. I am David Scott on behalf of the appellants Tanger Grand Rapids and Tanger Devco. I'll collectively refer to them as Tanger. With the court's indulgence, I reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Certainly the court has read the briefing and is familiar with the background facts, but we'll briefly, for context, summarize that the case is basically about the ruinous failure of a multi-acre parking lot that caused the owner of the project, Tanger Grand Rapids, $3 million plus to remedy. This court should reverse and remand the district court due to the existence of disputed issues of material fact relative to the district court's granting of summary judgment in favor of the defendant Rockford Construction. Tanger engaged Rockford as a construction manager to develop a retail outlet mall in Byron Township, Michigan. For a guaranteed maximum price of about $40-odd million, which escalated to $50 million that Tanger, the owner, paid to Rockford, including a large parking lot across, again, a site that was about over 30 acres, give or take. The construction was completed in July of 2015. By that winter, so by the winter of 2016, the parking lot was already essentially disintegrating. It was tenting. Portions of it were coming together. It was scalloping. It was pulling apart, essentially disintegrating. Now, the parties investigated, trying to figure out what is going wrong here. Why is this parking lot?
I mean, as I understand it, Tanger's the one who wanted to save money and directed that the on-site materials be used. Correct?
The court is absolutely correct. In the clarifications, the answer is yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and then why isn't MTC the party responsible? It seems to me they're the ones that looked at the materials, that certified they met, and then the general contractor even asked for clarification. They say yes, and so they go ahead and use it.
Right. Essentially, that's what the district court said, right? There's a big pile of materials on the site. Right, and that's a fact. There's a big pile, literally a big pile of materials. And Tanger, with any construction site, there's a cut fill, right? Well, every owner wants a balanced site, right? I don't want to pay to cart stuff off. I don't want to pay to bring stuff in, right? So as long as that on-site material was consistent with the specifications, of course Tanger wants that use. That's in the clarifications, Your Honor, specifically.
Right, but then MTC says, yeah, it's consistent. And
right.
Tanger, and so Rockford says, are you sure we can use this? Because I can't remember. It says 21A in the contract. This is 22, whatever.
Yes, Your Honor.
And they say, yes, you can use it.
Right. So exactly. The only way that the on-site materials could have been used was if the on-site materials were suitable, right, consistent with the specs. And Rockford's point is that MTC was my client, was Tanger's geotechnical engineer. And MTC, the court is correct. MTC did inspect those materials, some of the on-site materials, and said, yes, they're suitable. So that all happened, Your Honor, right? And so—
Wait, who hired MTC?
Tanger, my client, did have a contract with MTC, the geotechnical engineer, right? So what Rockford says is, points the finger right at MTC and says, that is the failure, right? That's what the court is saying, that's what the district court held. And that analysis fails for a few reasons, and there are disputed issues of material fact. And the reason that analysis fails, number one, is because Rockford had its own obligation to have engaged its own independent geotechnical engineer.
That comes from the Netherworld specs, and those weren't an exhibit to the contract.
Actually, Your Honor, the facts prove the exact opposite of that.
Okay, tell me what fact proves that the specs were a part of the contract, because they're not signed, they're different in kind, they're not an exhibit to the contract, so how are they? And the contract has an integration clause. So how are they incorporated into the contract?
Number one, let us start with the contract itself. Article 1 of the contract defines the contract documents to include specifications, capital S, right? Specifications. What the court is referring to and what Rockford argues is section 16.1.7 of the contract refers to some exhibits, right? Refers to Exhibit B is what the court is talking
about. Which talks about specifications.
Exactly, Your Honor. And Exhibit B is a table of contents. And Section 16.7.1, the very first word of 16.7.1, in addition to Article 1 specifications, additional documents include Exhibit B, which is a table of contents, Your Honor. It's not even the specifications themselves. If the court looks again, it's Section 16.7.1 is additive, not exclusive, of Article 1 specifications. Secondly, Exhibit B, it's just a table of contents. It's like looking at a glossary. It's not even the specifications themselves, Your Honor.
Right, but how we look at the entirety of the documents. So
right.
They would have to be in there.
Exactly, Your Honor. The entirety. So how can Rockford argue that what it presented was the entirety of the document when it's not? Because Exhibit B is a table of contents. It is
okay, but
not.
But you're saying, are you saying something was omitted from Exhibit B, or are you saying that Exhibit B is irrelevant, that it's Article 1 that's controlling, and that specifically includes the specifications?
Exhibit B is additive. It's an additional document. Exhibit B lists additional documents.
You're not answering my question.
I'm sorry, I thought I did.
Are you saying that Exhibit B mistakenly omitted the rest of the materials and only included a table of contents, and that the specifications would have been in there had it included the whole document? Or are you saying that Exhibit B has nothing to do with it? It's Section A that's controlling, and Section A specifically refers to the specifications.
I believe it's the former, Your Honor. Exhibit B is part of the contract. It is part of the contract. It's not the entire contract. It's part of the contract, only part.
So you're saying that the specifications were part of Exhibit B, but they just didn't make it? And it erroneously just had the table of contents?
No, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that what Rockford has never identified what is the totality of the contract. We are saying the specifications that we included.
So are you, but you, I don't understand why you didn't say the latter when, are you relying on Article 1 that says that the contract includes the specifications?
Right, Your Honor.
That's what you're relying on?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're saying Exhibit B has nothing to do with it?
We're saying that Exhibit B is also part of the contract, Your Honor.
Does Exhibit B have the specifications?
Exhibit B is a table of contents that refers to specifications. And Exhibit B itself, the words on Exhibit B, we have to acknowledge, the Exhibit B itself, the table of contents, does not refer to the specification that we cited.
Okay.
Exhibit B is not complete.
So then how does it become part of the contract?
Because the specifications themselves are part of the contract.
So you're relying on Article 1?
Yes, Your Honor, yes. I confused whether there's the form or the latter in the course.
These are the Netherwald specs.
Yes.
So they're not your specifications. They're nothing. It's the contracts between Tanger and Rockford. So explain to me how some other company's specs get incorporated into a contract that has an integration clause saying what you're signing and its exhibits is everything.
Oh, sure, because Netherwald was a site civil engineer, and the site civil engineer is the entity that created the specs.
And does the contract say including the site civil engineer? Because you drafted it, right?
Correct, Your Honor. What it says is Article 1 refers to the specifications.
Refers what?
Article 1 refers to the specifications.
Okay, these are the specifications developed by the engineer.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, and you're saying that in those specifications, it obligates, are they the contractor or the manager?
Contractor, Your Honor. Contractor and construction manager.
It obligates them to hire their own
Geotechnical engineer, Your Honor. Yes, that's exactly what it says.
Okay.
They're an independent geotechnical engineer. I mean, that's what the specification says.
The Netherworld specs.
Correct, Your Honor. Which the affidavit of the project architect, Paul Surjact, he affirmed under oath those specifications drafted by Netherveld. Your Honor, Netherveld.
That's parole evidence. I mean, his testimony after the fact is parole evidence that's specifically excluded. So we've got to be able to look at the contract and figure that out.
Exactly, Your Honor. So let's look at the contract. Again, Article 1 of the contract says specifications are included. We identified those specifications. Respectfully, it's not parallel evidence because it's not. We're not arguing the contract is ambiguous and requires extrinsic evidence to determine what it means. We're saying those specs are part of the contract pursuant to Article 1, which refers to specifications. And then Rockford wants to bounce directly to Article 16, which says 16.1.7. Additionally, it includes the following documents, which again refers to Exhibit B, which is a table of contents, but not the specifications. How Rockford is arguing out of both sides of its mouth when it says this is in the entire contract, when the entire contract
has been specs issued.
When?
Yeah.
In advance of the contract being signed. This is not parallel evidence, Your Honor. What the district court did that was the error is the district court abjectly ignored the specifications that we attached, that we identified, are part of the contract. That's why it's not ambiguous. By the way, again, I believe was looking to Exhibit B. The court sees what we're talking about. That's not the specifications. It's just a table of contents. The specifications that Exhibit B refers to are, Your Honor, the specifications drafted by Netherveld. And by the way, what's curious and why there's a, I see that my time is up, if I may finish the answer to the court's question. Jack Barr, the Netherveld engineer himself, was asked explicitly, were these specifications included in the contract? His answer was, I don't know. Rockford, in its briefing, changes that and affirmatively says that Jack Barr says they were not included. That's absolutely not what he said. He said he doesn't know.
We'll hear from you, Mr. Ward.
Good morning. Michael Ward on behalf of Rockford Construction Company. May it please the court. The court has done an excellent job zeroing in precisely on what's at issue in this case, in part looking at 16.1.7 of the standard agreement under the AIA standard form of the agreement, separate and apart from the general form of agreement. The Article 1 references in broad terms specifications and other documents. However, when you look at 16.1.7, it gets very specific in terms of what is actually going to be called out as the contract documents. It says, it references that AIA document A201 provides that bidding requirements such as advertisements or invitations to bid, instructions to bidders, sample forms, and the contractor's bids are not part of the contract documents. And then unless enumerated in this agreement, they should be identified here and to be part of the agreement. So then under 16.1.7, there's a long list of exhibits A through, I believe, L in terms of attachments that are considered within the contract.
Does it say additional?
It uses the term, it excludes all of those things and it says they will not be considered unless identified
right,
herein. It does not say additional.
I'm sorry, the specifications are not listed as something that's excluded, right?
It only to the extent they may be considered to be part of instructions to bidders, sample forms to contractors'
bids. I know,
but
are the specifications listed in that list of things that aren't included?
No.
Okay.
No. What it does, I think I understand your question, Your Honor. Exhibit B, referenced by counsel, does identify specifically the specifications that are to be included. And there are several pages of specific specifications. Within those specifications, spec 31200, which Tanger wants this court to believe is part of the specifications, is not identified. There are very specific identifications of the standards and specific specs that are included, including those for earth moving, which is what we're really talking about here, and it does not identify anywhere within that document 31200. It does identify numerous other specifications.
So what about, he says Article 1, which says specifications issued before the contract. And he says Netherworld specs were issued before the contract, so they're expressly incorporated by Article 1.
I'm backing into that. You're exactly right, Your Honor. They were not issued. They were proposed at some point, intermingled with other proposed specifications, including those of architects. And what Jack Barr testified to was those were basically put out there. They're undated. They're not signed. They're not adopted anywhere by any other independent documentation to incorporate those into the contract document guiding this project. No one relied upon those except now Tanger, in retrospect, has come to this court claiming they're part of the contract documents. They were not. I would agree with Your Honor, Judge Lepar, you brought up the parole evidence issue, and I spent some time in the brief discussing basically what are the four corners of the contract document at issue here, and we've talked about some of the testimony. If you were to look outside the four corners, the documentation, including the testimony of the various witnesses we provided to this court, established that Jack Barr believes those were drafted as just a proposal, never adopted by anyone.
Can I ask you, what does issued prior to mean?
Issued prior to would have been either issued by owner to contractor and agreed to, either issued by architect to owner and agreed to.
How do we know that?
There's no independent identification or definition within the standard AAA contract for that. And I don't believe there's been any evidence submitted certainly to this court, nor during the course of discovery that was uncovered, that dealt with that specific issue in terms of defining that.
And why do you think 16.1.7 limits Article 1?
To the extent that it identifies what is not to be included, that initial preamble provision of the...
You're talking about in the parentheses list here, any additional documents?
Correct, Your Honor. Yeah, exactly right. And then what it does afterwards, it supplements, and it's Exhibit A, it's Exhibit B, and we further define those in Exhibit D in terms of the use of the soils that are native, that the owner is going to do the and pay for its own testing agency. Those are all provided to the court and bolster.
I just want to understand something. I'm sorry. Do you disagree that Exhibit B is a table of contents?
I disagree. It's not just a table of contents. It is a list of specifications. It's not a table of contents.
Okay. And within that table of contents, are there specifications?
I'll quarrel with the use of the table of contents term, but there are identified very specifically specifications for the project. And my earlier point that Tanger is arguing specification identified in a draft form as 31200 is nowhere listed within the list of specifications. There's lots of specifications, very specific, throughout the project. And it's not just limited to Exhibit B. But within the earth-moving provision of Exhibit B, 31200 is nowhere to be found.
Okay, and are you saying that if one looked at the four corners of the contract, everything is in there?
Everything is in there. There is no reason to look outside the four corners of the contract. There is absolutely no contractual provision that places a burden upon Rockford.
Well, okay, but Exhibit B lists some specifications, but the specifications themselves are not attached, right?
They're not attached because they are, in some instances, some of these specifications, especially those under A and C, are huge reams of material. Because it's a multi-building.
So there's some things that are incorporated by reference.
Exactly. They're described very specifically, yes. And that's a common way of doing that with regard to very specific specification numbers for identification.
So are you saying that reference to the specifications in Article 1, it would seem to be totally unnecessary or superfluous, right?
It's extremely broad, and it doesn't provide any definition at all. it certainly opens the parties, I think, to the idea that, okay, if you're going to build this pursuant to AIA standard agreements or general provisions, it would be wise under 16.1.7 to identify those specifications that are being incorporated. And that's, in fact, what happened. Nowhere within Article 1 does it identify the scope or the universe of specifications that it's referencing. It's just simply referencing specifications, amongst other things.
But everybody agrees that specifications meant, I'm sorry, who was the entity, Newhouse or something? Does everybody agree what the specifications are with the capital S?
No, I think that's where the dispute lies, Your Honor. Tanger is claiming that a draft specification, it's been called a draft by the Netterville principal, Jack Barr, who prepared the initial set at some point pre-bid, prior to the contract being entered into, drafted this set, and he said it was just a draft. It was never adopted. And looking at it, you can see it's undated. It's not, it doesn't have provisions for signatures, and that's all it is. It was provided by one of the entities, being Netterville, who was a part of this litigation during the course of discovery. But he was very candid in his testimony that this was not, to his knowledge, part. He said, I doubt it. I doubt this was part of the contract or part of the specifications adopted. There's no indication by any source that these were adopted.
So are you saying that specifications as used in Article 1 really means whatever in 16.1.7, that's what it means?
And I think that's why the language of 16.1.7 is very specific, and that is why Rockford and owner, Tanger in this case, went to great lengths to identify in numerous attachments exactly what is that universe of specifications being referenced in there. And it has to do with all of the specifications pertaining to the construction of buildings, the construction of the driveways, the roadways, the parking lots, from soils all the way through to the pavement sections. The other issue we really haven't talked about, it sort of leads into what Judge Tappara mentioned, the RFI 19, which it does become part of the contract, and that's a key document, obviously, in this case, wherein Rockford sought guidance with regard to the substitution of a specified material. The specified material came from MTC, as was earlier pointed out, the geotechnical expert retained by Tanger in this case.
Did you do it as to the sub-base, too?
It was done for the sub-base. They tested all materials on site. There was sand as well as what we consider now to be gravel, formerly concrete, that was demolished to the point of being what they believe to be an acceptable material for the
base. So you got both, because the MTC report says that for the sub-base, the SP or SP-SM, whatever
right.
that was,
right.
that the sub-base materials on site were both qualified under that and non-qualified, like clay, that you found in one area.
Right.
So did you ask for clarification? I know you did on the other, the whatever, 21 or 22, but did you on the sub-base materials as well?
The substitution of 21 for 22. There were other testing that approved the on-site soils, and there are reams of, obviously, testing data. And that's never really been the issue in this litigation with regard to the moisture retention, if you will, of the fine materials, because that all rose out of the coarser material, which was the on-site broken up concrete pieces. Unless you have any further questions, I've concluded my remarks. Thank you.
Judge White asked a moment ago if Exhibit B is a table of contents, and Rockford's counsel took issue with calling it a table of contents. Rockford, in its brief, document 19 at page 9, refers to Exhibit B as a table of contents. If there's no issue of disputed fact, and if those specifications that Tanger says are part of the contract, if they were only a draft,
they're labeled specifications. They say like geotechnical testing agency qualifications. An independent agent's testing agency qualified to ASTM E329 to conduct soil materials and rock definition testing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor.
So they list things, clay subgrade to be inspected and tested for wet or soft soil by testing agency. It's much more than a table of contents.
Your Honor, if what Rockford clarifies as a draft is only a draft, Where in the record are the actual specifications? Where does Rockford point to what the specifications really are, if that's not just a table of contents, as Rockford itself defined it, Your Honor? Where's the affidavit of Rockford that says, here's the entirety of the contract?
Well, the integration clause says that.
Exactly, Your Honor. In Article 1...
Hold on. He's right what 16 says. 16 says some of these are excluded.
What 16.1, the very first word of 16.1.7 is additionally. It is in addition to Article 1 by its own terms. And then you look at Exhibit B, which is a table of contents as Rockford defines it, and nowhere in Exhibit B are actual specifications. If there's no issue of disputed fact, where are the final specifications? Where is Rockford's affidavit attesting to what the contract was?
It says other documents, if any, listed below, and then it says, and it gives intended to form part of the contract. List here any additional documents. So it existed before, we all agree, that are intended to form part of the contract documents. And then it says the bidding part, and it says they should be listed here only if intended to be part of the contract documents.
Yes, Your Honor.
Sample forms and contractors' bids are not part of the contract documents unless enumerated in this agreement.
Yes, Your Honor. Where are the actual specifications, Your Honor?
I don't know. You guys put Exhibit B list of specifications. So
exactly.
We look to Exhibit B. We follow what is in the four corners. And you could have very well put Netterwald specs, Exhibit L.
Your Honor, Rockford is arguing both sides of its mouth. Exhibit B is a table of contents. It is not the specifications.
It says list of specifications.
Exactly. It's a list. It's a glossary. It's like
where
an index.
In there does it say Netterwald specs that were created on such and such date? You could have done that. You could have incorporated it. You could have made this easy instead of litigating it forever.
Your Honor, making it easy would have been Rockford having an affidavit and identifying the specifications.
Is specifications defined in the contract?
Yes, Your Honor. Specifications is defined at section 1.1.6. Specifications are defined as the portion of the contract documents consisting of written requirements for materials and performance. That's not what Exhibit B is, Your Honor. Exhibit B is not written requirements for materials and performance. It's
okay,
not the specifications.
Say it again, the portion of the contract.
The portion of the contract consisting of written requirements for materials and performance of related services.
Okay, so where is that?
It's what we attached. It's what the affidavit says. It's Exhibit 4 to our motion. It's the specifications. Rockford never identifies the final specifications.
But it says consisting of...
Wait, written requirements, section 1.1.6, Your Honor.
But 16.1.4 says the specifications, and it says see Exhibit B.
The court's, Judge White's question was, is specifications defined? If the court looks to 1.1.6, that's the definition of specifications. 16.1.7 includes Exhibit B, which is a mere table of contents. If the court talks about the four corners of the document.
16.1.4 says the specifications and then says see Exhibit B.
It does, Your Honor. And Exhibit B is a table of contents. We talk about the four corners.
Okay, but hold on.
Yes, Your Honor.
I tried to ask you this before. Exhibit B isn't really it. Exhibit B would be a table of contents if there were a document that included all those things that are in, that are listed there, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Is there such a document?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And does that document include this requirement that you want to impose?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And where is that document?
It's the document that we attached to our motion for summary judgment in the trial court level as attested to by Paul Surjak. It's the specifications.
Okay. That document that...
The Netherworlds.
Yes, Your Honor.
The
yes.
document that you attached, does yes. it follow the same headings?
Yes.
So if you looked at, I wish I had it in front of me, but if you looked at one of the sections that are listed in the table of contents, it would correspond to a particular provision in what you say are the specifications?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And, go ahead, Your Honor.
And so what's the purpose of, if I understand correctly, the provision that requires that they hire their own expert,
yes, Your Honor,
does not correspond to a section that is listed in the table of contents?
What a brilliant question that explains why we have disputed issues of fact. Do we know what that actual specification reference in the table of contents says? Does anyone know? Has Rockford identified it in the record? No. No one knows
You're
what it says.
Telling, I'm sorry. I thought that what you were saying is that that table of contents corresponds to sections in what you say are the specifications.
It does. It does. And the specific section that's referenced in Exhibit B, there is a section that there is a section of that number in our specifications.
And does that is that the section that says hire your own soils expert?
It is not.
Huh?
It is not, Your Honor, no. What we are saying is that you look at Article 1, and Article 1 defines specifications with a capital S, and then Exhibit B, Section 16.1.7 is additive, right?
Added so, them?
It's additional, so 16.1.7 says additionally.
All right, so...
That's the specs, if you want them.
But if this... Okay. So, but if the specifications are defined...
Those are the netter belt specs.
Okay. As I mean, you say they're... So the definition does not refer to Section 16 at all. It just says written requirements.
It defines what specifications are, Your Honor.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I see my time has expired. I would urge the court to reverse and remand.
We appreciate the argument, Mr. President, and we'll consider the case carefully.